Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Discover a New Beginning Blog Talk Radio. Our show, Phenomenally Yours, broadcasts weekly on Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This show is inspired by and dedicated to all the phenomenal men and women who are making a difference. Whether someone recognizes your worth or not, know that you are awesome. Our guest today is Chris Daggs, a professional speaker and community leader. Welcome, Chris, to our show. We are so pleased that you could join us today. Welcome to our show.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. It's a blessing to be here. I'd like to thank RAC also for giving me the opportunity, along with you, to be here.
Yes. So let's learn a little bit about Chris. Chris is a reformed drug dealer and ex-convict who now mentors youth and adults as a speaker and a community leader for Royal Apex Creation and RAC Speaks. Chris was born in 1979 in Bristol, Virginia, and he is the youngest of his siblings. Not all of them share the same two parents. Chris held his father in high regard due to his firm parenting out of genuine love and his independence. The ability to manage and care for many came naturally to him, and he consistently found ways to create opportunities to make money, both legally and illegally. He always wanted to be in a position to help others, and this type of idealism would eventually find its home in Chris's mindset as well. While Chris attended high school in East Tennessee and later Virginia, he continuously found himself wanting to be independent of the status quo. He did well academically and athletically, but the achievements weren't enough to satisfy his desires for more. He was familiar with the fast money and lifestyle of the streets, and he kept an eye on it from a distance. Eventually, though, he approached one of his peers that was hustling in the streets and inquired about the process of becoming a drug dealer. That was the beginning of his transition. Chris dropped out of school and became a full-time drug dealer. He climbed the food chain rapidly and soon was regarded as a top supplier. He then tapped into entrepreneurship only to provide a cover for his operation. The fast life would soon slow down. After successfully avoiding the law and other troubles, Chris felt untouchable. Little did he know someone close to him was functioning as an informant. After being caught and convicted, Chris was sentenced to 15 years of state and federal imprisonment. This new restricted culture changed Chris's perception on what was really important in life. 12 years later, Chris was freed, and for over 5 years, he has remained a part of the 15% that never returned to prison. In addition, the need to help others was greater than he could have predicted. Chris found himself counseling random men that seemed to be heading down a familiar path on the street. He now positions his experiences and insights as roadmaps for avoiding and navigating through life's obstacles, pitfalls, and pressures in order to efficiently reach positive goals and lead a quality life. Chris's mantra is, a man's achievement in life is based upon himself. Congratulations to you, first of all, Chris, for being that 15% that doesn't go back. Recidivism is at an all-time high, and that is with men and women and our youth. So I want to congratulate you on that. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get from there to where you are now?
Well, when I was sitting incarcerated, just to come to that part, through the early life, we know how we got, how I got there by dealing drugs. Once I got to where I was incarcerated, I had to look myself in the mirror and ask myself a serious question. who do you want to be going forward in your life? What do you want to be remembered by? Do you want to be remembered by, hey, that's Chris who's selling drugs, who's out here continuing to sell drugs and take the easy path? Or do you want to be remembered as a man of change who brought about change within himself and within his community? And how can I help others? And once I decided that, I set a goal for myself, many goals. When I got out, you know, first step, you get a job, you know, get myself established. Second step, you know, life partner, and continue to build from there.
So, from your perspective, why do you think 85% of those people that have been incarcerated, why do you think they end up going back?
Well, while you're there, it's beat into you that it's hard out here. So all you hear when you're incarcerated is it's hard when you get out. They don't want to give you jobs. You can't do this. You can't do that. Your probation officer is not going to allow you this. People are not going to allow you that. So all you hear from the get-go is no. So people come out already with a low confidence, especially us as African Americans from hearing that. We already feel behind the eight ball. So you come out and you try to make it the best way you can. You get into a job which is not, they feel not enough to provide for their family, and instead of being patient to gain the next position, you tend to go back to what you know how to do best.
And I see that all too often. But if the system is not set up to help our formerly incarcerated sisters and brothers to succeed, then how do you keep from going back? If I come out as a woman who, say, has been arrested for prostitution, a young man that has been arrested for selling drugs, and I come out without the necessary skill set or education to be able to sustain myself, then what do I do? How do I keep from going back to what I know in order to be able to provide for myself?
That's a good question. And that's what I'm trying to establish for people that's coming out, a place where they can go to get help, to be a part of the group that ushers us back into the community to show them that there's another way. The guys that I talk to now, they have been freshly home. There's been a couple guys who have said the same things. Man, it's hard. I don't know what to do. Well, what they need to hear is positive reinforcement. It's just like a child. When you tell a child that he's doing something well, then he's going to continue to do something well. And it's just us as a community to continue to put forth that effort behind those people instead of leaving them as the cast out and downtrodden of the people who have failed or been failures in society or cast with that mark. You know, we have to teach them that you're not defined by the action that you did. You're defined by your now. What you're doing now is what's going to define you.
Mm-hmm. So what changed? What changed in your life that led you to or to help you to start making better decisions?
Once I really had time to sit down and evaluate my life, it's just I want to be a better person than what I was. And I had people who I would reach out to, friends who had actually came from the same environment that I was in, who had made it to be businessmen, legit businessmen and doing well in life. And when I seen them, they encouraged me that there was a way. And I know everybody doesn't have that. So within you, you just have to have the will of self to say, this is not what I'm going to sit in. I'm not going to use the system as an excuse. I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone to go get what it is that I want the right way. And it's just about self-esteem. You've got to have esteem of self to be able to do for self. And if you don't mm-hmm. have it, you have to find a way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
We can make every excuse in the world for our circumstance. We can. I've done it before I got to this point. But you have to say, okay, enough is enough. What do I really want?
Mm-hmm.
Let's remove the excuses, and this is what I want.
And I see that so often. I also work with women who are in transitional shelters, and so these women have become homeless for a variety of reasons. But a lot of times we will make excuses for where we are, why we did what we did. We will make excuses. And, Chris, I look at that as having a victim's mentality, because when you make excuses, you're not accepting responsibility for your own actions. So that means it's someone else's fault. And if you say that if you're blaming someone else for your condition by using excuses, then you're waiting on them to fix it. And that's what happens a lot of times when we make excuses, is that we become victims within our own selves, so we're waiting on someone else to fix whatever it is that we've gotten ourselves into. So how do you help young people get past a bad decision that they have made that either has or could change the course of their lives? How do you help them to get past that?
Teach them empowerment and self-worth. Teach them that you are bigger than the crime that you're doing, the crime you are doing, or the crime that you did. That's the biggest thing that I hear from youth, is they feel like nobody believes in them. They come from single-parent homes, a lot of them, so, you know, mother's always working or father's never there or vice versa. So there's nobody to instill those values in them. So they just need somebody to encourage them, you know, of who they can be and what they can be and what they can become. Some feel that being what they've already done, that they're stuck in a space that they can't get past that because nobody tells them any better. The people they look up to, that they see, that's what they tend to migrate to, and you just have to show them something different. You have people that live in Nashville, Tennessee, that have never left Nashville, Tennessee, that have lived in the projects in Nashville, Tennessee, and have never been no further than the two blocks that they live in, the two-block area that they live in. So they know no different than what they've seen, and you just have to teach them different.
Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, and I have found that to be true, even if you expand that horizon past the two blocks from the projects. But I have seen that here in Atlanta, where I live now, and also in Buffalo, where I'm from. Those people that have never left Atlanta, or those people that have never left Buffalo, are so limited in their thinking and in the possibilities of what could be, because they've never expanded their horizon. So when you take that and you further downsize it to a two-block radius, then they are just basically limiting themselves in terms of even what they think is available to them. Do you find that to be the case?
In some circumstances, yes. And I use two blocks as just a reference. It's bigger than two blocks, just leaving your city area of, you know, the city that you were born in. You know, they know nothing else, so you have to teach them. It's what you hear, the mentality of that I'm not leaving where I'm from because they don't know anything else. So that has to be ingrained in them. Me, I'm from Bristol, Virginia, but I end up moving to Knoxville, Tennessee, where I started my life anew, and then eventually settled here in Middle Tennessee. And once you remove yourself from an environment, most of the time, I'll say from what I've seen from people who have done so, who want to do right, change comes about because you have removed yourself from the circumstance around you where it's not easily available for you to fall back into to say, I'm going to go back to sell drugs because things have gotten hard, or I'm going to go back to prostitution because things have gotten hard, or I'm going back to robbing because things have gotten hard. The new environment inspires you because you see people like you who are succeeding to succeed or be successful.
Right. That's right. So what do you think is the greatest gift that we can give to the next generation or to our youth?
Empowerment and education. Educate them about what's going on now and what they're going to need in the future, and empowerment, that their voice is important, that mm-hmm. they are important. That's the biggest gift that we can pass on to them, you know, ever. Education mm-hmm. and empowerment.
Because if we don't have that instilled in us at some point in our youth, then we grow up to be adults and we still don't feel empowered. Because our youth, and I wonder sometimes whether or not we fully understand just how important it is for us to instill certain qualities into our youth. When I was a little girl, they used to always say, my parents thought all the time, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. But that,
right.
you know, so far from the truth.
Right.
Because words destroy you. Far greater, I think, than those sticks and stones ever could, especially with someone that, if we're talking about someone that's young and very impressionable. So
yes.
How do you think your childhood played a role in who you became as a man and as a professional?
Wow. Well, I come from a single-parent home, mother who worked all the time, so she didn't get to invest as much in me. So the people in my neighborhood, a lot of guys that I would watch from afar are the ones who kind of inspired me to become the individual that I did become as far as a drug dealer. But becoming the man that I am today, what inspired me was watching family members who I knew had became successful, watching my sister who became a successful businesswoman in her own right, you know, was a drug dealer, changed her life, and we got a successful business and is an upstanding person in our community, which when I seen that, it inspired me that, hey, if she did it, I can do it. If this person did mm-hmm. it, then who are they better than me? Whether they were even with watching as far as like when Ray Lewis got in trouble and Michael Vick got in trouble, when I see these guys that they got out and they changed their life and their perception, I'm like, hey, if he did it, he's no better than I am. Yes, he might have more money than I have, but he's no better than I am. I can do the same thing.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think it's important for our youth to have that kind of a role model, because like I said before, you know, we all make mistakes. We all make bad decisions. Unfortunately, particularly for our young men, I know with my son at 18 made a childish decision that had adult consequences. And so often that happens with our youth and our young men in particular. They make a bad decision. The law says at 18 you're an adult. But you know yourself, Chris, at 18... these young men are still making childish decisions, but they have adult consequences. I do think it's very important that they have life lessons. I've told my son that he needs to give back, and he needs to show young men who are 18 and 19 that have made a bad decision. My son is now 31. That you can recover from that and you can go on with your life and you can be successful. So I agree. I think it is important that we have role models such as you had in your youth, such as what you're providing for the young men that you mentor to. So tell us this. So what life lessons have you learned from your journey, and how are you able to not only apply those lessons to your life, but also to the lives of those people that you mentor?
The biggest life lesson I learned for myself that I carry with me is why accept failure when success is free. To be successful costs me nothing but my time and my effort, so I don't have to accept failure. That's the biggest thing that I've garnered from this, with me falling the way that I did and be able to come back to be a parent, somebody who's adopted children, somebody who has been blessed to get a nice home and have another child that I was just blessed to have. I can be successful and be able to speak to people and show them that success another way, to know that where I come from. That's the gift that's what I share with the other people, is that you don't have to accept failure. Success is free. All you got to do is put hard work, be empowered. Don't accept no. If you told no, if that door is closed, guess what? There's another door to go to. There's always another avenue besides the avenues of what you were doing before. And that's why I carry on me every day. And you have to have therapy for yourself. You have to have self-talk. And I don't think we were taught that as children. You know, people would tell you that you were foolish, you know, with doing that. But we have to teach our young people it's okay. It's okay to seek out help and deal with the feelings of not feeling good or feeling great or feeling empowered or feeling belittled, to be able to vent those feelings. We are taught to internalize those feelings. We are taught that is soft as youth. That's what our youth are taught by other generations. That's what I heard as a child coming up, sometimes from aunts and uncles from wanting to share things. So we just have to teach our youth it's okay to share those feelings and help guide and mold them through the pitfalls of growing up and how they can fall, and to just continue to mentor them through that.
And I think that that's probably one of the greatest gifts that we can give to generations coming after us, because you are absolutely right. Particularly in our culture, it is a sign of weakness if you seek out any kind of professional help for anything other than a physical medical condition. But if you've got anything going on up in your head, in your spirit or whatever, that you need to talk to someone, you are absolutely right. We were taught that that is a sign of weakness, that you don't do that, because we were taught what goes on in your home stays in your home. And so any kind of problems or situations that were going on in the house stayed in the house. Both of my boys are a product of domestic violence. And I have since they have become adults, I have been able to sit down and we've been able to talk and we've been able to have conversations about all of that. But, I mean, you know, Chris, that took years and years and years before we were able to do that, so that they both walked around with all of this inside of them, not really being able to talk to anybody about it. So I think one of the greatest gifts we can give to the next generation is to let them know it's okay to talk to somebody about what's going on in your life. It's okay to get help. It is not a sign of weakness, as we've been taught. So I agree, totally agree with you in that. So tell us this. In your opinion, then, what has been your greatest accomplishment?
March 6th and March 7th of this year, I got my release papers from probation and parole complete.
All right.
No longer on probation, release. And that was a great accomplishment. Why was it so great? Because you hear that it's now 88% of people released within their first 5 years commit another crime to go back to prison.
Mm-hmm.
33% within the first, 79% within the first 3 years violate probation to go back to prison. And I didn't have one officer, I had two officers. And of course they have, you know, probation is not on your side. They make it as hard for you as they can to make it, because that's their job, is to always question and be behind you and make sure that you're doing the right thing. So their job is essentially to put you back in prison, and I survived that. So that is to date for me one of the greatest accomplishments that I have.
That has to be, because you are absolutely right. What I learned from the whole judicial system and the probationary system, and just from dealing with my son, is it is a business. Now, I'm not sure how it is in Tennessee, but here in Georgia, the probationary system is privatized. So they make money off of you being in jail.
Yes.
It's like the jails make money. That's right. That's
you
exactly
have to pay a fee,
right.
A, what they call a supervision fee. So it's a money racket. And the more they can keep in you, the more money they can make.
That's right. That's exactly right. And their goal is to send you back. The system is not set up for people to succeed. It is set up for you to fail and go back. That's how the system is set up, because there's so many little things. My son would say, "Mom, every time I do one thing, they come up with something else. It's almost like they're trying to trap me." I said, "Son, they are trying to trap you. That's exactly what they're trying to do." I said, "So we just, whatever it is they say you got to do, we're going to go ahead on and do it. We're not going to think about, I just finished this, or what's next. We're going to take care of it and deal with it." And you're absolutely right, because getting out of that system is one of the hardest things to do. You can get into it real quick by making one bad decision, and it can take years for you to be able to get out of that. So congratulations to you for that. So at the end of the day, Chris, what is it that you want people to remember most about you?
That I use my life as to help someone else, someone who come from the same scenarios that I had, or may not even the same scenarios, but made a mistake, that I was able to impression them to know that there's another way for them to live their life and get their life back, that you don't have to be a convicted felon your whole life, that you don't have to be a failure your whole life, that you can come from that and better yourself and be successful. There's other ways to make money, you know, by watching what I have done. You can find your own niche to make money a legal way. There's another way. You don't have to be put in a box.
That's right. That's exactly right. So how did your relationship with Royal Apex Creation, how did that come about?
I've been a part of RAC now since the beginning. It was a come up as a thought of Mr. Jamar Stokely, our CEO, of wanting to be able to reach out to the community and have community activities, and I want to be a part of that. So basically from the beginning, I was there. I was always right on board. Whether it was from the sideline or right in the trenches, I was always there. And it's been a great thing to be with him and our president, of course, Joel, and the other multitude of speakers that we have, and to be on this platform to be able to reach other people is a great thing, beautiful thing, especially to have men on one accord. You normally don't find that.
That's exactly right. You are so true about that. So what's next for you? What's your vision of where you're going? What's next?
My vision now is to be able to go into schools to try to catch the youth before they get in trouble, to be able to speak to adults who are struggling in their life path as we go on this journey. That's my next two goals that I have for myself, to be able to go speak at schools and other events with young adults.
Mm-hmm. So as we wind down, what is your message to people out there? And it doesn't matter what age at this point, because as long as you're still on this side, you still have a chance and an opportunity to turn your life around, no matter what it is that you've done. So what's your message to people that are just trying to find their way, trying to find their purpose?
Don't give up. Don't take no for an answer. You are not the person who they think you are. You set the tone for your life. It's in your hands. You have the control. Nobody else has the control but you. Why accept failure when success is free?
That's exactly right. I love that. Why accept failure when success is free? You know why? Because failure doesn't require effort. It doesn't require work. Success requires work. It requires effort. Because I've come to find out, Chris, that there is no such thing as an overnight success. Overnight success takes years, and it takes hard work. It takes dedication. It takes passion. And failure doesn't take anything. You can sit at home and veg on your couch, do absolutely nothing. So, we've become lazy, and so it's easier for us to accept failure, because then we don't have to do anything about it. We want to thank you, Chris, for sharing with us this evening. If our listening audience wanted to contact you, wanted to reach out to you, how would they be able to contact you?
You can reach us here through me at here at RAC at our line that we have, and the number is, I want to share that, make sure I definitely share that with you guys. Looking for just if anybody needs a speaker, if anybody needs help, we're always available here for that. And our phone number is 629-401-2303. And you can also reach us by email at apexcreations.com. That's info@royalapexcreations.com.
We want to thank you again. If anybody needs to reach out to Chris, you can reach him at 629-401-2303. Or if you'd like to email him, you can email at
Royal Apex
Creations, and that's Creations with a K, RoyalApexCreations.com. So we want to thank you for joining us this week. Be sure to join us every Thursday at 6 p.m. to hear from another phenomenal person, or you can listen to our broadcast on blogtalkradio.com/discover-a-new-beginning. If you would like to be a guest on the show, or you know someone who is phenomenal, please contact me at Linda@LindaHWilliams.com. So I leave you with these words from that phenomenal woman, Maya Angelou. That man is a success who leaves the world better than he found it, who has never lacked appreciation for Earth's beauty or failed to express it, who looked for the best in others and gave the best that he had. Thank you, Chris, for joining us this week. Thank you all, and we'll see you here again next week. Good night.